This is Pastor Emery. The newspapers a few days ago said two more medflies had been found in Southern California. So they would now spray the poison malathion over a heavily populated area around that site. Other large population areas of California have already been sprayed with the poison malathion. This is the same kind of aerial spraying that was done in Vietnam and other Southeast Asian countries by the U.S. Army in the 60s and 70s. The Holy Bible warns us that the populations of the world would be poisoned with drugs by the end of this age. We know that probably refers to such things as marijuana, opium, and heroin, but can it also include poison chemicals used supposedly to kill insects or to cure diseases by which poison or drug humans at the same time? I think it can. This will be broadcast number one in a series on the Bible and drugs. Stay tuned. One of the best-known Bible passages which warns that the world would be in a drugged state at the end of this age is Revelation 18 and verse 23. This is at the end of the passage which describes the destruction of something called Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 8 of Revelation 18 gives Mystery Babylon's death sentence. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The next 14 verses describe her end, including the sorrow of those who have been made rich by her merchandise, because now they will have lost their riches and their power over people. Then comes verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. As most Bible scholars know, the English word sorceries here is translated from the Greek word pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy or drugs. A literal rendering of that passage would be this charge against Mystery Babylon. For by thy drugs were all nations deceived, or by thy drugs were all nations drugged. 100 years ago, and even 25 years ago, most students of prophecy were saying, well, this has to be off in the future because drugs are not being used in the manner in which this passage would indicate. For this passage seems to say that all nations, meaning most of the people of the world, would be deceived by the drugs distributed by Mystery Babylon. We have known that for years there was widespread use of drugs in Asian countries and limited use on other continents. However, among the Christian nations of the West, until recently, drug use affected only a very tiny percentage of the population. Since World War I, that has all changed, and that is what we are going to be talking about in this series, for I believe the increase in the drugging of the populations of Christendom is not just a happenstance. I believe it is the result of a deliberate plan by the Antichrist who want to destroy Christians and Christianity. They want to set up their one-world dictatorship without Christianity. We will be comparing both the realities of the widespread drugging of millions of people and what the Bible has to say about it. Since much of what I will be saying on this subject will be bad news, since the drugging of our people is increasing so rapidly, let us get a perspective on this with some good news from the Bible first. I read from Revelation 18 the statement by God Almighty that all nations were drugged with the drugs of Mystery Babylon. However, that chapter, if you will read it all, is describing the end of Mystery Babylon, not its beginning. It would appear from that that by the time the widespread drugging of the people of the earth is revealed, it will be time for Babylon's destruction. Looking at the accelerating rate of drug use in Christendom, we may soon be nearing that time when God will bring to an end the great anti-Christian power which is trying to destroy Christendom with drugs. In case you didn't realize it, already entire governments are under the control of those groups and organizations whose main purpose is to sell drugs and destroy Christendom. Colombia in South America is only one small example. For many years, the main export of communist China has been opium and heroin, sent primarily to the United States. Recently, some news reports have indicated that in the state of Florida, the largest business, at least money-wise, is the business of narcotics. Some authorities have stated that the money from drugs is now so great in America that the dealers are bribing local politicians, police, and judges. And if they won't take the bribes, they send strong-armed men to tell them they had better take the bribe or they will injure or kill family members. One drug dealer was arrested recently in Florida, and it was revealed that he had been depositing over $30 million every month in bank accounts. Not $30 million a year, $30 million a month. With that kind of money, a few millions for the bribing of officials is cheap insurance. And he was only one. Hundreds are still loose, bringing in the drugs from Asia and South America. One specific prophecy which would give us the approximate time all of this would end and the Antichrist be destroyed is in the prophet Hosea. It has to do specifically with America and Christendom. However, the prophet uses, as does several other prophets, the name Ephraim. And because so many of our churchgoers are quite ignorant of who or what Ephraim is, we will go back to the book of Genesis first, and we'll make a study here to establish who Ephraim is and why he is mentioned in end-time prophecies affecting Christendom. In Genesis 48, Jacob and his sons and their sons are still in Egypt. Jacob, now called Israel by God, is old and dying, and he calls Joseph to his bedside and asks Joseph to bring his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So first you will know that Ephraim is Joseph's son, born in Egypt, as of course was Manasseh. In verse 5, Jacob Israel says to Joseph, "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." This was actually a legal adoption. Reuben and Simeon were Jacob's first two sons of the 12 sons that he had. Now, here in Egypt, Jacob is replacing those first two sons with Ephraim and Manasseh, now to be considered the firstborn. Then in verse 14, Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Israel, by placing his right hand on Ephraim, who was Joseph's second-born son, chose Ephraim as his, or Jacob Israel's, firstborn son, making him preeminent not only over Reuben and Simeon, but placing Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Joseph protested in verse 17 and 18, trying to make Jacob Israel put his right hand on Manasseh, who was the older, but Israel refused. And if you will read verse 13, you will see that Israel had to cross his arms in order to get his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh, thereby making the sign of the cross with his arms as he adopted these two sons of Joseph. Later, we will show further why this whole adoption process has a direct connection with Christianity and with Christians, and has no connection at all with what is commonly called Judaism or the Jews. So by the sign of the cross, the sign of Christianity, Ephraim and Manasseh were adopted, blessed, and prophesied upon. You should read the whole chapter, for it gives us the key to many end-time prophecies, which ordinarily are not understood by the churches and ministers today, because they read about Ephraim in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Hosea, Obadiah, or Zechariah, and they do not understand those prophecies because they do not know that the name Ephraim stands for the name of Israel in many of these prophecies. In fact, in verse 16 of Genesis 48, Israel said, as part of the adoption procedure, "Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac." By this act of adoption, Ephraim and Manasseh replaced Reuben and Simeon as the first and second in the line of inheritance from Jacob Israel. The next chapter gives us the reason why Reuben was rejected as Israel's firstborn. Genesis 49, verse 1 through 4. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now this is an end-time prophecy, not their last days, but the last days of this age. Verse 2, "Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And then he speaks to them in the order of their birth, beginning, of course, with Reuben. Verse 3, Genesis 49. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch." Now there is some speculation as to what Reuben did. However, for our purposes here, what Reuben actually did is not important. Here I want to show that Reuben was dispossessed as Israel's firstborn, and Ephraim was put in his place as the firstborn inheritor of the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is verified in the book of the Chronicles, as they list all of the tribes and their descendants. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, and we'll read verse 1 and 2. "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel," and then this is a parenthesis, "for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright." And then to explain another part of prophecy, here is verse 4. "For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler." Remember, David and the Davidic line and Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, were born through the Judah line, but this verse then concludes, "But the birthright was Joseph's." And by the way, when you write or call for our free packet of literature, you will receive our literature list, which includes a book titled Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. It's about 300 pages, and it explains how these two prophecies or promises were fulfilled, one in the house of Judah, one in the house of Joseph. Many of the Bible prophecies cannot be understood unless you understand those two things, and especially that the firstborn in Israel is now Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, I hope I am not boring some of you who stayed tuned at the beginning because you thought you were going to hear some world-shaking news or statistics about drugs or the drug problem. I will get to that later, probably not until the second and the third broadcast. However, With the drug problem growing as it is all over the world, it is rather easy to see that all stable governments and societies in the Christian West could soon be destroyed by this one thing alone. Therefore, I must first show you we are not going to be destroyed by drugs. The Bible itself gives us both prophecies and promises of the deliverance of Christendom. It also gives a general timetable of that deliverance. But you won't find that deliverance in the Bible unless you know the story of Ephraim becoming the end-time inheritor of the Israel promises and the name used symbolically for the Christian West. That is why I have to go through all of this, because I know many churchgoers have never even heard the name Ephraim. In fact, I've run across ministers who are ignorant of this truth, and yet the name Ephraim is probably the most important name in the Bible for understanding the end-time prophecies about Christendom outside of the name of Jesus Christ himself. So you bear with me as I discuss the worldwide drug problem. I am of necessity discussing end-time events, and the name Ephraim figures very greatly in end-time Bible prophecy. All right, Israel has said of Ephraim and Manasseh in Genesis 48:16, "Let my name be named on them, and the name of my father, Abraham and Isaac." Those words alone should tell us that both Ephraim and Manasseh would have a great part to play in the future of Israel. How great that part would be is further indicated in the words of Israel in verse 19 and 20 of Genesis 48, where he answers Joseph when Joseph wanted Israel's right hand to be placed on Manasseh. Israel refuses and then says of Manasseh, "He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great." Then Israel goes on about Ephraim. "But truly his younger brother," meaning Ephraim, "his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed," meaning the seed or descendants of Ephraim, "shall become a multitude of nations." Right away, we can see that any fulfillment of that prophecy about Ephraim cannot possibly fit what has taken place or is happening in and among the Jewish nation. Here we have two sons of Joseph blessed and prophesied upon under the sign of the cross, and both seem destined, if we can believe the Bible, to be a great number of people. The people who follow Judaism are not only a very tiny number of people, but do not now have the sign of the cross, the sign by which Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed, nor do they have blessings directly attributable to God Almighty, as does Christendom. Anyway, look at that phrase again in verse 19, "that Ephraim's seed shall become a multitude of nations." The Hebrew word is melo, and here in Genesis 48 is the only time it is translated multitude by the King James translators. Strong says it could have been translated fullness, "his seed shall become a fullness of nations." However, its root Hebrew word stands for a citadel or a city. Ephraim's fullness, since he was to inherit what Abraham was promised, would be the city whose builder and maker was God, that we read of in Hebrews 11 and verse 10. In Hebrews 11 verse 16, what Abraham believed his seed were to inherit is called an heavenly country. Read on with me now in the next chapter in Genesis, where Israel blessed each of the sons, and we'll read the blessing for Joseph, which would be the blessing, of course, for both Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons, and perhaps we'll get a better idea of what that fullness of nations would be, which Ephraim's seed would become. Genesis 49, beginning in verse 22 through 24. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The shepherd of Israel is Jesus Christ. As is the stone, or the cornerstone of Israel, Jesus Christ himself testified that he was the stone which the builders rejected, in Matthew 21, verse 42. We could say from this that Joseph's descendants were promised to have both Christ and God's blessings. And my time is gone for today. We'll have some more to read next week, God willing, about Joseph, and of course that means about Ephraim and also Manasseh, as we then go to the prophecies, which will show the connection between the drugs now upon the earth and the end of Mystery Babylon, which is the power and the entity which is behind these drugs. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery, and I do want to read some of that good news for America and for Christendom. And you must first understand that America and Christendom are called by the names of Ephraim and Manasseh in Bible prophecy. We are that part of Israel coming through Joseph in direct inheritance of the great promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, which were passed by Israel to Ephraim and Manasseh in Genesis 48. Next week, God willing, I'll read some of the end-time prophecies about Ephraim and Manasseh and show how this drug war against Christendom, and that is what this is a war against Christendom, fits in the prophetic picture. Have your Bibles ready again next week, as I have some more scripture to read as we go to the second broadcast in this series titled, The Bible and Drugs. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.